people want to flex everything that's wrong with them, but people never flex everything that's good with them. Nobody walks around and says, look, I've got the ability to read as a positive, as a gratitude.
I can breathe there.
I can breathe. That's gratitude. I can walk. That's gratitude. We always focus on, I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't do that.
Welcome back, people, to the podcast of all podcasts. I'm your boy, Raven Paneri.
That's you, man. That's you.
Raven Paneri. And today, we got the man himself. The man. The man, the man, the man. You know him as Mr. Nice Guy. Some people know him as Chef Compton. The others know him by other names. He's the one, the only, Mr. Joel Banisha.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. You're welcome. Nice hype, eh?
If you keep hyping me like that, man, the people would know me for sure.
Ah, I'm pretty sure people already know you. But to begin us off with, how you doing, my guy?
Yeah, that was a good day today, bro. The weather's good, the trees are good, the breeze is good.
Speaking of trees, why did we get out of that cupboard? That location we were stuck in. Why are we out in this here, Nate? What's going on?
Nature.
Did we get kicked out? What's going on?
Nature is what it's all about, bro. We're trying to reconnect with nature. So, those of you who love nature, it's for you.
Especially for you.
Yeah, it's for you.
Oh, how is things though? Things going well?
Yeah, I think things are really moving. We're really trying to get into the move. RCTV is booming. That's the way.
How's everything in your personal life going? Everything good?
Yeah.
Chilling?
Our family's going good. Everybody's going good. Yeah, let's get it.
All right. Without further ado, so we're here to talk about part 3 of the WTW model. Why don't you tell them what the name of the third part of the WT model is? What's the third? Come on, tell us.
Well, we spoke about the first one, which was the Door of Salvation and IMO.
Yes.
Now we're going to talk about the third part of it. So we talked about the 7 areas of human life and how to be successful in the 7 areas of life.
Yeah, that was part one.
Yeah,
that was part one. The seven major areas of human well-being. Yeah. If you guys haven't watched that yet, we'll link you to that. Go ahead, check it out. And the second part was what? The Door of Salvation.
Yeah.
And I Am More. We'll also link you to that as well. Go check out those two videos before you watch this. Yeah. Because those two were quite heavy. Because we got pretty good feedback on those, eh?
Yeah, we did.
Few attached people really enjoyed them. So yeah, I'm keen to know what this third installment has for us, man. All right. Go ahead.
The third part of the model is really to do with I give more.
And put some more emphasis on the title. Come on, man.
I'll do a pause. You know my regular pause. I give more. So it's essentially a state that one comes from, right? So you can look at it this way: is you've entered the door of salvation. You've discovered that you are more than what you think you thought you were. You are more than just this physical body. Now you've tapped into another realm, which is I give more. I give more is, we'll put a diagram for you guys to see it, but I give more is, it's a very interesting state when you reach this state. And the whole basis of I am more is a building of self-worth. And as you start building your self-worth, and you now starting to transition into I give more, I put some couple of notes here to really help us go through this, because this is too big. I said, now, if I start just rambling and talking about it, people might get lost. So I'll give it short and sweet, right?
Simple stuff.
Let's simplify. So
all right.
The law that governs this realm, if you're confused, you're like, what is this guy really talking about? What it really is about, if you go and watch the two first videos, you realize that we're talking about the 7 areas of human life, mm-hmm. and how to master the 7 areas of your life, right? Because mm-hmm. we're here in this planet to really learn how to manipulate energy so we can master and manage the 7 areas of our lives. And the 7 areas of our lives is really what determines everything, I believe. Once you master those areas, everything is you. Everything is all about you.
So do you remember off the top of your head what the seven major areas are?
Well, the seven areas are, you gotta gain wealth, right? This model is called WTW model. So it's worth to wealth model. To get wealth in the seven areas, which are the physical wealth, so it's to do your physical body and slowly stuff like that. It's to do your physical wealth, physical body and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Emotional wealth. We're talking about relationship wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is to do with your time. Are you worthy with your time? Is your time being utilized wisely? The next one is career. And then we've got financial wealth, which most people know about. And then we've got spiritual wealth. Mm. And the thing we discussed in most of our podcasts was that essentially that most people only focus on one or two things. When they hear the word wealth, they don't realize the word wealth actually means well-being. It means, right. Hey, this ant is climbing on me, man. Damn. This is why we don't film in nature,
one with
man. Nature.
No, be one with nature. This is called a oneness, isn't it? Being one with nature. Yeah.
And that's the well-being. The well-being, it means you are doing well in the being of your nature, right? In every being, every ounces and ounces of human life.
Because being also means like present tense, right?
Yeah.
Be here, being.
Yeah.
So you're being well in this moment.
In the present right moment. Now.
So do you feel wealthy?
Bro, I'm working on all sorts of wealth, bro.
Yeah?
Yeah, man. Your boy is in everything. So going back to what I was talking before, I was talking about the I am more.
Yeah, the I am more aspect.
The I am more aspect of states really comes down to that bit. So you've realized the seven areas of your life. You realize that you are more than just the self, which is the physical body. Now you start realizing that you think you can give more. Well, how do you realize you can give more? The mastering state, right? The mastering state of I give more is a state of service. When now you realize that you can actually serve the universe.
Mm.
That you've been awarded, you've been given two very major factors. You've been given a gift and a purpose.
Okay.
And if you utilize your gift in a purpose, that becomes a service.
Mm. So is that what you realize in the I am more room? Because we talked about a house description in the previous video.
Yeah.
In the I am more video. And in that in the video, you showed us the room and the room which governs by the law. And what states the feelings, emotions, and thoughts. So one, as the more time you spend in that state of mind, as you called it, the room, the more time you spend in that state of mind, is that where you discover or get some sort of inkling of gift and purpose?
100%.
And that kind of unlocks the second room or takes you into the second stage, the second question, which is the service aspect.
100%.
Okay.
That's exactly it. If you see each and every one of these states as rooms, there's a verse that talks about my mansion has many rooms. It's a Bible verse, if any of you knows about it, but I won't go too much into it. But essentially this is one of the rooms that's present there, is that you decide, you start to realize that you can give more to life than just being here. A lot of us are living under survival mode. And we're just trying to get by, just trying
survival mode, eh?
We are, bro.
What do you mean? Like, what do you mean by survival? Because when I hear the word survival, obviously, it's thinking of, like, not having provided shelter, food, and stuff. Like, I'm actually living for that. But I already have food, I have shelter. Like, what do you mean I'm still surviving? What do you mean people are still surviving?
Well, one of the major things people struggle with is the idea of stress. It's a stress mode, right? Fight or flight mode. And the reason we live in that mode, and I always tell this story, the way I was sitting in a bus and a couple of ladies behind me were going about who's more diagnosed with more. And this other lady was saying, I'm diagnosed with stress and depression and so forth. And then another one was like, well, I've got autism and this and this and this and that. And so it was like a flex, like, yo, who's diagnosed with more? Who's surviving more? Who's closer to death than the other? that's essentially it. Just think about it. It's who's closer to death than the other. People want to flex everything that's wrong with them, but people never flex everything that's good with them. Nobody walks around and says, look, I've got the ability to read as a positive, as a gratitude effect.
I can breathe there.
I can breathe. That's gratitude. I can walk. That's gratitude. we always focus on, I can't do that, I can't do this, I can't do that. And then the fight becomes who can die sooner. That's essentially the fight we're fighting now.
Nah, that's hard.
It is, man. That's how much we're in the box of survival.
Oh, so survival is like that.
Yeah.
Interesting. The wordplay is very quite interesting.
And now, if you think about it now, is before you can get into a give more state and reach the state of discovering your gift and using it in a certain purpose to provide service, which is essentially what the foundation and the basis of any business is that they realize that something that they have, that they provide better than anybody.
You provide a service, basically, type thing.
Yeah, well, before it becomes a service, you got to figure out what is it that you have. So the gift might be a product or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you want to realize its purpose. How does it fit the purpose of the world? How does it fit? What is it solving? Because the whole idea of the word purpose is it's solving a problem. Purpose without problem is no purpose.
Giving something that's not already existed or modifying something that's existed to be more efficient.
100%.
All right.
And so then once you discover that bit, now when you go into service, it has a greater return because you realize that you are worth more and you have something in you that the world desires, that the world requires, that the world needs to solve a specific problem. And because of that, you actually don't even need motivation. I see a lot of people come to me and say, oh, motivate me, man, forget it. You don't need motivation when you realize your gift and purpose.
Yeah, because funny enough, when I was I think preparing for this, I thought of the same thing. Like, damn, if you get to the state, motivation is not really necessary because you already have a plan, you already have a fuel, because you 100%. Know what you need to do. So what do you need motivation for when you know what needs to be done?
Yeah. Motivation is usually a result of people doing things that is lower in terms of the value system.
I said that again with simpler terms.
So let me use an example. If one person is a mother and she loves being a mother, for example, yeah, anything that has to do with her child, she does it instantaneously. She doesn't procrastinate about it. She doesn't think too much about it. She acts. She realizes that she's got some sort of gift that could be beneficial to the kid.
Yeah, that's so true.
And she acts on it straight away. But if one has no interest in his value system, let's say, for example, if one, for example, has a value system that is to do with, essentially, they have a high value system, they prioritize the mechanical side of a car, fixing cars and so forth, and you were to send this person to go to the shop and buy things for babies or kids or whatever, if it's not high in his value system, you can yell at him all the time as much as you want and you say, you're not a great person, you're not worrying about the kids and stuff, but it's not in his value system. He's going to look for reasons to not go to the shop to buy stuff for kids, to procrastinate. And when he does go to the shop, all he's going to see is different parts for cars and stuff like that.
Well, that's where his values lie.
That's where his value lies.
And that's not necessarily like, you know, an issue in a sense, right?
Yeah.
Because that's where his value lies.
Well, the world has turned it into a problem, but it's really not a problem.
But still, doesn't he still need to be a father in a sense? Like,
well, he does, but we have to realize that this world is so intricately placed that people's value system will always govern who they are.
Repeat that one more time.
People's value system will always govern where they are and what they do with their lives. And if you want to shift what somebody does, don't go out looking for behavior modification. Because that's what we try to do. We try to modify people's behavior. That's useless. What you want to do is you actually want to tap into it and really speak to the person's value system. That's where it's at.
So it's like, feeling the person, and then the person's happy, they'll be willing to do.
100%.
As long as it's like, I don't know who said it, but it's like your happy tank. If you can get that all the way up and you have excess, you're willing to just give off and do stuff, service it. If you can willingly get 100%. Yourself there.
And that's where the I give more states comes in. And it's definitely much more complex than that. We're just simplifying it for the understanding of it. Mm. But what you start to realize is this, is that let's talk about it in the practical sense or in a theoretical sense. So you've got a state, and this state is a room.
Okay.
Right? The law we're that governs. Yeah. We're going to the deep stuff now. Get ready. We're about to go on a train.
Buckle up, people.
So, we've got a state. The state is essentially, it's a room. Think about it. Think about it as a house.
Go slow, man. This is a school zone. Take your time. Slow it down, man. Go.
So, I'll need you guys to use your imagination to be able to picture what I'm saying. Because I'm going to paint a picture for you guys here. So, imagine the state of Agivmu. It's essentially, let's say it's a room. And the room, you are standing outside the room. And the room has got a door. Right? And the prerequisite to getting in this room is measured by your sense of worth. So think about it. There's a guard at the door, and the guard is asking you, who are you? And the only answer that's sufficient enough to get you in this state and in this door,
in this club,
is the answer that needs to be responded with, I am more. Because only those who are more and higher in self-worth can enter the realm of I give more. Because you can only give that which you have, and you only have that which you are.
So that's basically, and going back to Elijah, like you filled your gas tank up in the previous 100%. Room. Like you just got this bar is legit the I am more.
Yep.
And then you're satisfied with yourself.
Yeah.
That's when you're whole, like self-love type thing. That's when you're happy
high level
with yourself.
Of self-love.
So that's where your value system and everything is met. Everything is taken care of. So everything you basically did in the first room is now you're going to be doing to someone. Now you project, it's like the neighbor.
Yep.
Treat your neighbor as you treat yourself, type thing, right?
100%.
So the first room is that, where you treat yourself, get yourself in check with yourself, understand yourself.
Yeah.
And the second room is basically the doing aspect, the giving aspect, which is quite effortless, I guess. Yeah.
But this room gets very interesting because now, once you've answered the password of to get in the room is you have to realize that you are more than just this physical body. You are more than just what they tell you are. You're more than just African, more than just Asian, more than just white. You're more than just
your race, your color, your status, your wealth, your
the
gender,
money that comes with you. You're anything. More than just whatever label that's been put on you. I always say this, when a baby is born, a brand new baby is born, that baby knows nothing about his ethnicity. Nothing about his name, nothing about where he came from, the village he came from, his ancestors
his
and stuff.
Bloodline. Not
the baby don't know any other stuff. All that stuff is taught into the child. It's a mask that's placed on top of him.
And that kind of gives him his character, his persona.
The baby actually knows nothing about religion, you religious people. The baby knows nothing about religion. He actually doesn't know anything. But in the baby's form is actually the purest form.
But people,
little kids have the purest form in life. If you look at it from biblical principle, Jesus always says to reach the kingdom of heaven, you definitely have to be like a little child. And the little child is the purest form. No, they ain't got no awareness of religion or name or whatever. All this stuff is stuff that we've implanted in them. We've masked that onto them. It's not truly who they are. So
that means that's not truly who people are.
Yeah. Whatever name they've given you or what they call you, or if they call you skinny or chubby or fat or whatever they describe you by your hair color, forget all that stuff. That's not you. Or you're someone with sickness, let's say cancer, autism, or whatever other thing people say, then they could call it a disability. No, stop identifying yourself as that. You might be experiencing that in this life, but you're not it. You are not your sickness.
Damn, I feel like that's gonna fly past people, man.
Bro, you gotta let them know, man. You are not your sickness. You are not the label they've given you. You are more than that. Well, if you're gonna give more to the world, you must first realize that you are more.
Isn't a bit egoist?
Egoistic,
arrogant.
Well, those who give more actually don't. Those who are jumping on the ego train. Let's put it like this. I'll simplify for you guys. If I was to jump on the ego train, that means in me there is a lack. if I'm jumping on an ego train, that means in me, somewhere within me, there's a lack. And I'm trying to fulfill that lack by putting an image.
Like a band-aid over something.
Essentially. Most people that struggle with their ego problem is because they lack something. There's a lack, or they feel a certain level of lack, so they try to cover that lack with, I'm strong, I'm this, I'm that, look at my money, this and that. All that stuff is, it's a band-aid, bro. It's a cover-up. We see through you, man. We see through you. We know who you are. Peel that mask of ego off, man, and come do the inner work. Start working on the self so you can realize and actually get filled up so you realize that you are more. Stop trying to flex in him. You are more, man. You think by buying a bunch of Gucci's, then people going to realize you're more than what you say you are? No, man. We see through all that stuff. You can flex all your life. We see through that stuff, man. It's reality, bro.
That's the honest truth, I guess. Because eventually that will just like, well, it's not very stable. It's not stable. Because eventually, that's why I guess depression or mental health issues or sadness, all of that exists, because your foundation of yourself is just,
it's wrong,
very
man.
Volatile.
If you fix the foundation of self, everything else shall follow. That's why a lot of people on things like social media and Instagram, and what they do is they put one facade or one face and say, look, this is who I am online. But then when you go behind the screen, you realize this person is really, really struggling.
And then they get cancelled, boycotted, everything, the whole career, gone.
I don't even know about this boycotting and cancelling stuff,
man. They're goners, man. Nah, yeah.
But, yeah, so let's go back into painting a picture for you guys. So, you've now answered you've now set the password to enter the room, right? Mm-hmm. You've entered the room, which is the I am more room, mm-hmm. by realizing by realizing that you are more. Okay. And as you enter it, there's a law, because every room and every state has a law that governs it.
Oh, yep.
That's a spiritual fact right there. There's always a governing law that governs one thing, mm-hmm. right? And this process, and actually I use the word thing, but that's incorrect. The right word is process, because everything is process. It's not things. That which you call matter is actually a process. That which you call God is actually a process. A lot of people are trying to think that they're giving this anthropomorphic idea that it's a physical being, meaning it's hardwired, metal sitting there and answering your question and so forth. Nah, I tell you, it's all process. And you might agree, you might disagree, but go on your search and discovering what it truly is and what's really governing this one, and you realize what I'm saying.
Thanks for crushing my dreams, bro. Appreciate it, my guy.
And now you get into the state, and there's a law that governs that state. Mm-hmm. The name of the law that governs that state is a familiar law that a lot of people know, which is the law of sowing and reaping.
Do your pausing effect. Say that again with your pausing.
The law that governs this state of I give more is the law of sowing and reaping.
Sowing and reaping, eh?
The law of sowing and reaping. So you've discovered who you are, and you discovered that you are more than just this physical body and that which is happening. Now you got to enter a mass process. And this process is essentially that which I do to self, I do to other. Mm. And to do to other, I get into the state of I give more, and I give more is governed by the law of sowing and reaping. And the law of sowing and reaping is really all about service. It's really all about service. So what sort of feelings you have when you're in that state? When you're in the state of I give more, there's a lot of sense of joy and a sense of importance and sense of value.
Joy, importance, and value, yeah?
Yeah, and most of the feelings will be gathered around that, because first, you were struggling with self-worth, and you didn't think you were valuable in this planet. You identify yourself as little old me, such a huge universe. How can someone so little like I have an impact in such a massive universe? That was where you were standing in before. Now, when you realize that you are more, you realize that you actually have a gift and you can make use of it in a purpose and be of service, then you, there's a sense of value, the sense of recognition, the sense of I am more than what people said I was, that I'm actually valuable. And the say goes this way, those who feel appreciated always do more.
But yeah, that is true. Because as you said, your needs and values have been met. Yeah, you have so much joy, it gives you energy, right? Like it gives you so much joy, it gives you so much energy, right? It's
yeah.
Like, it's like that high that people chase for, in a sense.
In fact, it is. And that's actually, that's true. The statement that says those who feel appreciated always do more, and when people are talking about they're doing more, it's the act of giving. They give more into whatever corporation it is, company, whatever. They end up doing a lot more than and they forget about working on the clock and working on the hours.
But yeah, as you said, the feeling, it's like, it's a factor of when you said, like, it's the reason why people wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
This is the emphasis of, like, you wake up being joyful and wanting to do more is because you're ready to give more because you found out what you want to give.
Yeah, you found out that you actually do have something to give to begin with.
And the thing that fuels you in that room is the thoughts of, I can make a difference, right?
100%. Yeah, so that's what it comes down to, feeling that you can actually make a difference, that you actually are worth more than you think you are. And there's so many other laws that when the seminar comes in, I'm definitely going to break through so many other principles. I meant that when the seminar comes in, I'm going to break through it in terms of I give more and really make you understand how the law of sowing and reaping does apply to our everyday lives.
So you're going to talk about the application process and the practical process.
100%, right? Man.
All right.
The seminar, we're planning to really dig deep into the application process, how to make use of these rooms and these laws and these states to win in and become wealthy in the seven areas of your life.
So you already got programs provided and written?
Hey, it's coming, man. It's coming. It's all here. Stay tuned.
Programs and seminars. Okay, So I guess we've really been working hard to provide you guys the content, the quality that you guys so do deserve.
Yeah.
To help you, you know, get the seven major well-being of your life, you know. Become abundant, become wealthy, become wealth in a human being aspect. Yeah. So I guess that's all for today, folks. Stay tuned for part 4 that's coming soon. Tell them the title of part 4. Tell them what's in the other room.
Bro, this is a major law, man.
Major?
It's major
key. Major key.
Hey.
Another one.
Another one. Oh, hey, this last one here is crazy.
Go for it, my guy. Drum roll, please.
I have more, they call it.
Pause in effect.
I have more.
I have more.
You start to see how it's all connecting from the door of salvation to I am more, I give more, and now the one coming up, I have more.
So that, hey, hope you guys enjoyed. Thank you so much for watching. Like and subscribe. Share the message around. Yeah, thank you very much, people. Have a nice day. Have an amazing time. Take care.
You enjoyed our content? Thank you. If you want more, follow us on Spotify, YouTube, Instagram, and our website for more. If you love what we do, support us on Patreon, Subscribestar, Crypto, and all links in the description below. Hey, RCTV, peace out.